Good afternoon. It is one bell of the afternoon watch, and this is your Captain Joe up in the captain's chair, and I am once again back on the magical isle of Vashon after my most recent travels. And when I get to the greetings part of my regular broadcast, I will talk a little bit about that trip and the things that happened on it. But in the meantime, and to start it off today, my friend who is with me today is the ever-lovely Blossom. Blossom is in the studio with me because she is headed from here for a check of her level of radioactivity. Those of you who are constant and frequent and loyal and dedicated Captain Joe's people who listen to me every week or almost every week know that Blossom was a cat that she's not really a cat. She's sort of a black person in a cat suit. But she was selected by Sailor and me because Sailor, my orange cat, who is also my XO, we were feeling that we needed to have somebody to take care of in the house. We always have to have somebody that needs some care and loving attention in the house. And because Ellery had been taken out by coyotes, there was just the two of us living in the house. And so we decided that we needed to find somebody. And I put the word out through the Pacific Northwest that I wanted a cat that nobody else wanted. And Blossom really filled the specs on that one. I did not even have to file a DD 1149 to get her. The Central Valley Rescue, from which I got her, was so happy to see the stern of her, which is not very big. It's not a very big stern, and she's not a very big cat. She weighs just over 6 pounds. And so she had been in this Central Valley Rescue for 10 years, had been adopted a couple times, and then returned for various reasons. And when I picked her up with the help of my dear friend Michelle, my cat lady, she of the cat vending machines that we have all over the magical Isle of Vashon, when we picked Blossom up, she was in a room with 15 or 16 or 18 or maybe 300 other cats. And she was had to compete for everything. She had to compete for food and attention. She didn't get much, if any, attention, and so she filled all of the specs that I had put out. She's turned out to be a great success, and yet she instinctively still will not let me touch her or handle her. And the reason that she's being checked for radioactivity is that she was diagnosed with hyperthyroidism and over in Tacoma across a short ferry ride is a practice, and that's the only thing they treat, is hyperthyroidism in cats. At some small expense, one must say also. So I took her over there, and she was injected with radioactive iodine, which needs to die down to a certain level, and we're checking that today to make sure that she is okay. So she's sitting across from me, and right across from me in the other direction is my dear and much trusted friend and colleague, Captain O'Brien, and he is chowing down on not meals ready to eat, but it looks to me like some sort of a Mexican kind of meal. He did offer me some of it. He offered it reluctantly, and it was not what one could call an enthusiastic offer. But he did offer me some of it, and knowing that this was his luncheon, I turned it down. I did not turn it down. I said, no, thank you. So it is always fun and enjoyable to have Captain O'Brien in the studio with me, even when he's not on the radio with me, because he gives me signals as to things that he thinks I'm doing well with. And then every now and then I get a really crappy signal from him that says, hey, Captain Joe, maybe you're going over the line on that one. So looking across the street to the Vashon Presbyterian Church, the sign this morning says, kindness is a gift. Try re-gifting. I am not a fan of re-gifting. I do know what it means, but anyway, that's what they're saying this week. And now I'm going to go into my regular broadcast elements and then say a couple things about some things that I've got going on that I want all of you to know about. So greetings to all of Captain Joe's people who participated in my pre-birthday celebration, which is why I went to Toledo. I have a family and friends of family rank, a family of which I am a member by association. And one member of this family worked for me when I was the commander of Coast Guard people in most of Lake Superior and a good part of Lake Michigan and Lake Michigan and Huron, and also many subordinate units. And Ivy worked for me at the base, because I was not only the group commander, I was also the base commander. And we have stayed sort of in touch up until several years ago, when she sent me a signal and said that her birthday was coming, and her birthday I knew was in January, but we were celebrating it in June. My birthday, of course, is in November, and we celebrated it in June. And the great thing about this particular gathering was that there were some people that had not been together for many, many years. I've commented frequently from the captain's chair about the importance of family gatherings and how they can reassemble pieces of that family which have, for one reason or another, scattered to the far winds. That's exactly what happened here. Brothers were reunited after a number of years. Brothers then were reunited with their mom after a number of years. It was just the most heartwarming kind of celebration that we chose, or Ivy chose, the theme to be the celebration 6 months early of my 50th birthday, which, parenthetical insertion here, is that we're going to celebrate that here on the magical Isle of Vashon in a great big open space. It's going to be an island-wide party, and probably five or six people will show up, some of them thinking that they were going to go visit the troll, and I'm not going to even pretend to be the troll. So everyone who came, they were friends of family rank, they were family related by blood, they were family related by association, and it was a wonderful, wonderful time together. Meals, games, a lot of conversation, and we were able to read some entries from the diary of Ivy's mom, Ivy's mom Hazel, who I knew very well. So everything that one could want in a gathering like that happened, and nothing that one ever does not want to have happen in such a family gathering did not happen. The final dinner was a birthday party for me, and the cake included a photograph, and I don't know how the hell they did this, but there was a photograph of my much-loved North Wind. And I told some stories about North Wind and about Antarctica and about North Wind working up in the Great Lakes. And one of the highlights for me was that each one of my six children had been asked and had fulfilled the request to write a letter telling about their relationship with me, their dad. My eyes grow dim. I cannot see. It was a wonderful time, and every single time that I am invited to and attend a family gathering, and it's happened here on the island a couple of times as well, I am always happy to be there, and I always hope that the announcement that Captain Joe is going to be there does not become a deterrence well, the old bastard is still alive. I guess we better go. Or, by golly, I haven't seen him for a while. Let's go and touch fingertips. It was a wonderful time. And for any of the people who were there and who are listening today, I just thank you and thank you and thank you. My heart goes out to all of you. You are all in the palm of my hand. The binnacle list this week carries a couple of sad entries. And one of the things that's happening is that family and friends of family rank are now telling me about people in their lives that I heretofore did not know, but who are in serious physical, mental, emotional, even sometimes financial trouble. I take this as a great honor because what it does mean is that they are entered into the binnacle list, and that means that every one of them is getting some attention from all of Captain Joe's people because we take very seriously the binnacle list. And we take very seriously when I make an announcement of people that are on it. And so the announcement this week is that there are a couple of new cancer diagnoses, which are very serious. And one of them, I suspect, is almost to the last voyage part. There are surgeries coming up for people for whom I harbor vast affection and respect. One of them is a cancer surgery. Another one is a surgery for a hip replacement. Another one is a surgery for a knee replacement. All of these things are of such importance to me that I am just putting a little bit of time into it this afternoon. Moving on, and I close the segment that has to do with the binnacle list with a reminder that it is my wish and my hope and my command that each member who is on the binnacle list will follow the instructions and the directions and the advice insofar as you feel that it is the right advice. Keep in mind that we ourselves are always the ones who are in charge of our health and that we take as advice from our physicians, our medical practitioners. I happen to have a group of those who advise me, and they are not only advisors in the medical sense, but they are personal friends. It is one of the reasons why I worked my way through what is arguably the second half of my life with the mission for this particular program, which, by the way, is on the Voice of Vashon 101.9 on the FM band and streaming live all over the world on voiceofvashon.org. It is my mission in this broadcast for all of us to feel just a little bit better at the end of the half hour that you give me out of your lives, and that we feel just a little bit better about the world in which we live. And I think for the most part, even when we get through the binnacle list, and especially when we get through the binnacle list where I have to announce the crossing of the bar of somebody who was important in my life, that it is important that we make these recognitions. I do practice medicine without a license sometimes, but I depend on Dr. Chris and my neighbor, my friend and neighbor next door, Dr. Phillips, who is also the medical director for the Poison Center, and who's on whose board I sit. The Dolly situation, there's an interesting development, two interesting developments. First of all, she has now left the port of Baltimore, or Baltimore for those of us who come from that part of the world, and headed down to Norfolk, where she's going to go into a shipyard for some major and certainly dramatic repairs. She went down under her own power, and she was escorted by four tugs and a salvage vessel. When she passed under the Bay Bridge, all traffic on the Bay Bridge was stopped just as a precaution. Oh, boy, I hope she doesn't lose it again and take out one of the bridge abutments for the Bay Bridge, which is now doubled. It is now a twin bridge like we have here in the Tacoma Narrows. And it is a suspension bridge. So if any of the components of that fail, then and the suspension cables, one of them is severed, then down comes the whole thing. So they shut traffic off as she passed under. The other reason they shut it off was that people would be driving along and looking at her. She still has some of the steel from the bridge draped across her forecastle. And so anyway, she's going to get down to Norfolk. I've made that run many times from Baltimore to Norfolk because that was the fueling point for my Northwind. And at the Navy fuel facility at Craney Island. So she's going to a Norfolk shipyard. She's going to be worked on there. The second interesting thing is that there's been some analysis of her electrical system. And two circuit breakers have been identified that tripped. And they tripped about three or four ship lengths before she actually hit the bridge abutment. What is interesting to me is that there was not some alternate circuit running and that the tripping of these two circuit breakers, which were in series, looked to me as if they are in series, just looking at the wiring diagram. I'm just a simple sea captain who can barely read or write, but I do know how to read a simplified electrical wire diagram, and it looked to me like these two circuit breakers are in series. So if one goes, then that cuts off the current to the other. It is a wonder to me why those were not in parallel, so that if one fails, the electricity will continue to go through the other. I'm also not an electrical engineer. And so all of this will be made clear to all of us. And we will, as the investigation goes on, the investigation is being conducted, in this case, by the National Transportation Safety Board. And the Coast Guard part of it is one of the things that the Coast Guard is looking at in our capacity as the approver of bridges. Are there any other bridges in the United States that may have this same vulnerability? So further information will be coming, and in the meantime, let's go to the Arctic. The Northern Sea Route is open. The Northern Sea Route across the top of Siberia is open. And in 2023, liquefied natural gas, which is required to be carried in special ships that are able to keep the natural gas in a liquefied state, is being moved across the, in the summertime, is being moved across the Northern Sea Route. And it's being done as they're being escorted by the Russian nuclear-powered icebreakers, incredibly strong, incredibly powerful icebreakers, the most powerful and strongest ones in the world. And the ship that's being used is named Cyber, S-I-B-I-R. And Cyber carries a name that has been in the icebreaker fleet for a long time. So out of the 37 transits of liquefied natural gas going across the North Sea route last year, 31 went to China. So the Chinese hunger, or thirst in this case, for liquefied natural gas is so high that we can expect to see not only the large number of ships, but we can expect to see the numbers of them increase. This brings me to, once again, my warning that I tried with Commandant Jim Gracie when I was the ICE boss for the Coast Guard. We need now, Commandant Gracie, to be working on replacement for all of these ships that are aging. And we still have one of them, and that's Polar Star. Polar Star's change of command. Already it's 2 years since the last time that I attended the change of command in Polar Star. Captains are replaced every 2 years. I would, were I the commandant, increase that to three. And in any case, her captain, who I met and greeted and interviewed under Polar Star in the dry dock in Vallejo 2 years ago, it is now time for him to be relieved, and the ship is once again in the dry dock. There is a major refit going on that is 3 years long. She's in, I think this may be the last year of this refit, to keep her going for, God, I don't know, in almost infinity before we see the first of the new icebreakers. That continues to drag on in a very unseamanlike and unnecessary way, I think. I lust in my black captain's icebreaker captain heart to be involved in that and see if I couldn't do a little bit of kicking butt and taking names to move that project along. That's an end of parenthetical insertion on that one. In any case, her change of command is on the Monday, I believe it's the 8th of July. Anyway, it's that Monday. And I'm going down to represent all of the icebreaker captains, all of the Coast Guard icebreaker captains sailing, and because there's only one, two, Polar Star and Healy, and all of us who are retired and who do not understand why we are lollygagging, why there is skylarking in the rigging over the delays with the replacement for Polar Star. Bless her heart, she keeps chugging along, and this major refit is probably going to work really well to keep her going for as long as is necessary. The word necessary now seems to be defined in decades rather than in years or months or weeks. It is time for us to pick it up and roll it out on that particular subject. I will also, when I'm down there, I will see if I can't arrange an interview of her captain, her chief of the boat, her senior enlisted man, and the youngest sailor that we can find. And if she's in the dry dock, get down underneath her and broadcast from there. Next week, we're going to celebrate at Captain's Quarters, the 4th of July, a little bit early. My Fairbanks family is coming down. My Bellevue family is coming over. And we're going to set up a campsite with maybe six or seven tents at Captain's Quarters. And these are, of course, my own family, blood family, not blood family, family by marriage. My son, Stephen, who is the director of special education in the Fairbanks, Alaska School District, is coming down with most of his children and his always lovely wife, Hannah Sue. And we're going to set up campgrounds and have just a wonderful, wonderful time. I tell you this because this will be a sort of a dress rehearsal, because later in the month, my grandson Joel is getting married at Captain's Quarters, and many of his guests are going to be camping on my property. And so we're doing a dress rehearsal with Stephen's children, because I just got a signal from Joel in which he announces that there may be as many as 14 or 15 tents. it is going to be a real challenge to organize and then to get all of this done. It is a challenge that I embrace with great and seamanlike enthusiasm. It is going to be a great, great time. A family wedding and bringing into my family a family of people who have never been on a ferry, have never been on an island like this one, have never been in a rural place where we are really careful to what we put into the toilets, because, of course, my house is on a septic system. My water supply is a well. People who come from a city environment and who take all of these things for granted. It's going to be a really, really interesting time. And after it, there will be for you, for all of Captain Joe's people, an after-action report. Because after every military action, after every military encounter, after every operations order has been completed and closed out, there's an after-action report. I will deliver that after-action report to all of Captain Joe's people. The Week is the magazine for this week, and it is especially interesting to me because it talks about something that the Prime Minister, whose name is Sunak, I don't think he's a particularly competent Prime Minister. He's certainly no Winston Churchill. But he has just put out a proposal to reinstate some form of national service in the United Kingdom of Great Britain and Northern Ireland. I believe in some sort of national service myself. Not necessarily in the military, but some kind of starting out your working life, putting something into this great country that I and so many other people continue to serve. My friend Captain O'Brien, sitting right across from me, is one of them. And one of the ways that he does this is that he gets together with his Army buddies, of whom I'm an honorary member, and talks about how can we continue to support this great land to which we all belong. So Prime Minister Sunak, S-U-N-A-K, I don't know what his ethnical background is. I haven't looked it up. I am just appalled at the mediocrity of prime ministers in the United Kingdom since Winston Churchill. of some of the things that have happened. And so he's talking about establishing some kind of national service. And this comes from one of my favorite sources of news, The Week. It comes from London. And I'm going to read now a quote, because this is called The Spirit of the Age. And this is from page 6, which is also the page in which there is an article about Prime Minister Sunak's wanting to do national service. But in any case, I'm going to read this particular piece from the Good Week For section. Holland and Barrett, I don't know who they are, but has been criticized for selling a chocolate bar studded with what it describes as menopause almonds. The health food chain, there now we know the answer to that, claims that the £3.79 dark chocolate bar soothes menopause symptoms and contributes to the regulation of hormonal activity. Menopause campaigner Kate Muir called the product nuts and accused the chain of engaging in, get ready for this one, all of Captain Joe's people, the word has just been invented, meno-washing. And with all of that, we have now far too soon come to the end of my broadcast time. And as always, this is your Captain Joe, up in the captain's chair, on station, and watching properly. I send to all of you my special thanks for the wonderful time that we had together. Stay with me on this broadcast. It comes every week. And Captain O'Brien, on whom all blessings flow, will be putting it up in the archive sometime today. And if you choose not to listen to me live, you can then listen to his work, my program. All of you remain, as always, in the palm of my hand. We never say goodbye. We say until we meet again.